Well, good morning. It is wonderful to be here. We have had a fun-filled weekend. Yesterday, we had our men's breakfast, our first one for the year, and what a wonderful time it was. A lot of men were able to get out, and we shared some not-so-healthy food together and also some good fellowship. And I just want to remind everybody, guys, every second Saturday of the month, rain, snow, or sunshine, we are going to be gathering together for a men's breakfast, and we would love for you to be there next month. And after that, we had a nursery ministry get-together, and that was another fun, action-packed. The men didn't play on the bouncy houses, but our kids did. So it was good to be able to get together with the church family, and also seeing all the beautiful snow and everything. I'm thankful that it wasn't dangerous or icy up in this part of the state, and we were able to get out and do things, and it was awesome. Now, you may have noticed these particular signs last week underneath our projector screens, and they will be a part of our lesson next week, but these are intended. We have over 100 of these signs, and we are intending for our members of this congregation to have them in their yards in front of their homes. And why we have decided to do this is because if you're like me, you like to go on walks, right, around your neighborhood. And what better opportunity than to somebody pass by your house as they're walking, because we all have our phones with us at all times, and they notice that this particular house, they make their home at the Hilldale Church of Christ. The QR code on that, as you'll notice next week, will be taking them to a video where we want to invite them to know more about this particular congregation. It's all a part of our theme this year of being a church in motion. Right, we want to be in our communities. We want to try and encourage people about the truth and all of these different things. So next week, we will make a plan to distribute these as best we can. And if you would like help putting them in your yard, we would be more than happy to help you do that as well. So another part of just our year this year, you'll also notice when you are leaving today, you'll see these weird station areas that talk about inviting a friend. All of those little cards are intended for you to take home and hand to people, right? Whether it be friends of yours, coworkers of yours, family members of yours, you are intended to hand those out. Or maybe you're getting gas and you just decide to stick it right there. Or maybe you're going out to eat and you leave one wherever you go eat. Those are for you. We have a bunch more. Our goal is to get rid of those by the end of the year. We are, again, trying to make every opportunity available to you to try and be a part of this theme of momentum this year. Again, I am thankful to be able to preach to you this morning. Now, I want you to do an exercise with me. If you don't mind, close your eyes. I want us to imagine something for a little bit as we are going to be jumping into our lesson, okay? Now, imagine you're lying in the same place year after year, watching life pass you by. The scorching sun is beating down during the day, and the chill of the night settles in as darkness falls. Around you is a crowd of people, each with their own struggles, their own silent cries for healing. You hear whispers of hope, rumors of a miracle when the waters are stirred. But for you, that miracle just seems just so far out of reach. You've grown accustomed to this existence, trapped in the tension between hope and despair. Then one day, some man approaches you. Not with pity, not with empty promises, but with a startling question. Do you want to be made well? You can open your eyes. Now, as you imagine yourself in that existence, being paralyzed, being lame, being blind, being deaf, whatever it may be, and all of a sudden, after so many years, somebody promises you something. Somebody asks you a question. Do you want to be made well? I wonder what your answer would be. Would it be an immediate, absolutely yes, please? Maybe you would have a little bit of hesitation. thinking to yourself, well, I've been in this state for so long. How could you possibly help me? Or maybe you would wonder, is there a catch to this? Well, to be honest, in John chapter 5, when Jesus asks this question, there is a catch to it. Because Jesus wasn't asking this question for the mere physical healing that this man longed for. He was asking a much deeper question. It's a question about more of the soul of this man, the heart of this man, and the willingness to step into his life to help him be restored. It's a question that he also is asking us and confronting us in this gospel message to handle our current struggles, to help us with our past wounds, and to help us in our faith with God's power. Today, we're going to look at that very question. Do you want to be made well? And I hope you will go and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, as you heard read in the scripture reading. Now, what is so fun and awesome about this lesson is that your kids can go along with you. Cliff has done a great job, and I didn't even notice he did this until this morning. But in the youth bulletin, the kids color in bulletin, they have the same message that we'll be hearing today. So mom and dad, when you go home, guess what you can talk to your kids about? That lesson that we talked about today. And it's such a wonderful opportunity for your young kids to go along with this as well. Now, we're going to be in that text, and we're going to be continuing this series on Be the One. And we're going to look at this one man who was that one who was made well. And we're going to see how that lesson about this man is so applicable to us today. So let's go through that text together. Now notice, in John chapter 5, verse 1, after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude who were sick, blind, lame, withered, waiting for the moving waters, for an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and walked. So as we break down this verse, I want you to notice verses 1 through 3. We understand the setting of this particular passage. So notice what time frame this is. Verse 2, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, okay? Now, if you were to go in and look at, if you were just to search a depiction of this pool of Bethesda, it would show you about on the north side of the temple area, there was this gate in the wall called the sheep gate. Now, this sheep gate was what a lot of scholars believe where sheep would come in maybe to purchase or to provide for sacrifices in the temple. And so you have this sheep gate, and near it was this particular pool called the Pool of Bethesda, or your translations may say Bethzatha or Bethsaida, right? All having the same meaning behind it. And this particular pool had five colonnades. Now look at the type of people that are in these pools. In these lay a multitude. Now when you think of multitude, sometimes that word just doesn't stick out to me as a whole bunch of people. But that's what that is. A whole bunch of people are here. These people are invalids. Now the ESV will go on to explain for us what invalids really is. They're blind, they're lame, and they're paralyzed. This pool area, these five porches, was filled with people who were blind, lame, or paralyzed. Now, I just want you to imagine with me what the mood would be in this particular area. Do you think everybody in there is just joyous and happy to be there? Do you think there's a lot of people that have a lot of depression? Do you think there are people filled with anxiety? Do you think there are people filled with absolutely no hope in this particular area? How fun would that be to be around? How amazing would you feel to be in an area that's like this? Not at all. Notice then we have, this is more of a depiction. I know some of that is smaller, but this is what a model of this particular area looked like. So it dammed up streams and all of these other water sources that some scholars believe that had quote unquote healing powers or healing qualities because it was filled with minerals and all of these different things. And so a lot of people would flock to this, especially the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed, because they thought, hey, if I can get into that water when it was stirred up, I would get healed. Now, notice the situation we then find. Now, if you notice, I didn't show you verse 4. Well, the ESV does not actually put verse 4 into its translation for the mere purpose that it is not contained in the critical Greek manuscripts. So they don't believe that it was contained in the earliest of manuscripts that we have. So I want you to go from about 3a, jump to straight 5. So you hear about all these people, this great crowd of the multitude that was in here that was blind, lame, and paralyzed. And then you jump straight to verse 5 and it zooms in on there was one man who was there, who had been an invalid for 38 years. Was it his whole life? I don't know. Was it a majority of his life? I don't know. Maybe it was his later 38 years in his life that he became paralyzed, blind, or lame. But now we notice that he was an invalid. Now that word invalid has a really, really, really cool meaning behind it. Notice this word, it means to be sick or weak. Those are the most common expressions for this illness and are used in the comprehensive sense of the whole man. You'll then also notice in John 5:5, the stress that is on this man who had been paralyzed for 38 years is being ill. And he has this illness and he's unable to move. What we find out about this word, it's not just about the outward illness that this person has. It's not just the physical disability that these people have. Imagine what comes along with those physical disabilities. There's depression. There's anxiety. There's stress. There's lack of hope. There's all of these different things. I mean, just think about it. If you were unable to use your legs for the past 38 years, and maybe you've been able to use them early on in your life, and now you have the memory of being able to run, being able to walk, being able to go play games, being able to hang out with the other kids, but now you can't. Instead, you're stuck in this area, this pool area, with all of these other people that are depressed and without hope. See, this illness goes way deeper. This illness has a lot more to it than just what the outside shows. This man was probably depressed. He was probably angry. He was full of anxiety. He was full of sin. All because of this one physical illness. I wonder how many people start to doubt God once something physical happens to them. Maybe they get a diagnosis that is not in favor of them. Does your first instinct go to getting angry with God? You start doubting God. You start getting mad. I wonder if this man grew up Jewish and being a devout Jew and maybe coming from a very, very prominent Jewish family or someone who is fully devoted to God, and all of a sudden he's paralyzed for 38 years. Think that affected his faith in God? Think that affected his trust, his obedience to God? All because of a physical struggle. Now, I wonder how often our physical struggles in this life control our spiritual health. How often do different situations that come about in our life control our faith in God? Maybe it is an illness. Maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's our financial situation. All of a sudden, for some reason, we're not able to keep up with the bills we have, and guess who we start to blame? Not us and our budgeting issues. It's God, and it's his fault. God's not helping me. He seems to be helping everybody else, but he's not helping me, and we blame these physical struggles that we have on God. Maybe it's not a financial reason. Maybe it's a marriage reason. Maybe you and your spouse are not doing well. You're not communicating well. You're not on the same page. And you start to wonder why. You know, for some reason, sometimes those why turn into it's all God's fault. God did this. God is the reason me and my spouse are not communicating well. God is the reason for all of this. And you start to then lose more opportunities of going to services and being with the church family. And that spirals and that snowballs. And more times we continue to blame God, all because we let our physical struggle control our spiritual health. That sometimes can happen to us. There are a variety of other reasons, a variety of other struggles that happen, and all of a sudden, it affects our faith. Notice, if we continue in the text, we have this startling question. This man had been paralyzed for 38 years, sitting around all of these other people who were ill, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he had already been there for a long time. And he said to him, "Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made well?" A better translation of that word is, "Do you want to become whole? Do you want me to help you not only fix your outer illness, but also help you inside? Do you want me to help your emotional struggles that you're having? Do you mean to help your spiritual struggles that you're having?" That's what Jesus is asking. Now, I want you to look at verse 7 very closely. How does the sick man respond to Jesus? The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me." What was Jesus' question? Do you want to be healed? What was this man's response? Not an answer to that question. Because Jesus asked a simple yes or no question, but this man says, "Look, I've tried everything." Who is that man relying on? Himself. I just can't help but stop here. Who do we often rely on? Ourself, don't we? You see, if Jesus came and asked us that same question, I'm afraid a lot of us would say the very same thing. "God, I've tried it all. I literally have. I've gone to this doctor. I've gone over to there. I've tried even all this other stuff. It's not working." That's not what Jesus is asking. Do you want to be made well? That was the simple question. But you have to then notice, where is this man's focus? You see, this man was focused on the physical. All he saw was the outward. He saw that this pool would help people. And so he said, "I want to go to that pool. That will help me. I'm going to go to all of these physical things to see if they can help me." How many of us try to find our healing everywhere but from Jesus? How many of us turn to everything else but Jesus? And I want to say this as carefully as I possibly can, but there are a lot of times, especially in our culture today, where the first instance of a physical struggle that we have, the last person we go to is God. Isn't that amazing to think about? And I've been around even some of the strongest of Christians, and they have all of a sudden had this thing happen to them. And the last thing they went to, the last person they went to was God. They tried doctors. Those didn't work. They tried other areas of medicine. Those didn't work. And then guess what they did? They got mad. They got depressed. Because these man-made things did not work for them. There's a lot of people that have a lot of other illnesses, not just physical illnesses, but mental illnesses. Maybe depression, anxiety, hyper stress in your life. What is often the first response people have when they have these problems too? Well, I'm going to go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a counselor. And then those counselors will provide medication. And that medication, will it help? Sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. My only encouragement through this is to hear Jesus' question. Do you want to be made well? Because that's what Jesus is asking. Do you want to be whole? Do you want me to help you? Because he's asking everybody that. Now notice what happens. That man didn't give the answer that Jesus was wanting. But notice what Jesus does. Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed, and walk. Now this is cool. Look at verse 9. And at once, or some translations will say immediately, I like that word better, the man was healed. The man was made well. The man had become whole. And he took up his bed and walked. What an amazing situation that we get to witness. This man had been paralyzed for so long. I mean, imagine his legs were probably legs that didn't have any muscle in them. But the miracle that happens where Jesus tells this man to get up, take up his pallet and walk, and immediately he's able to do that. At that instant, the muscle comes back. I mean, you even think about people who are in the hospital for a few weeks, they have to go to rehab just to learn to rewalk. This man didn't. Because all of this was a part of the miracle. And this man was made well. And then if you continue on into verse 14, you find really the main point of this entire lesson. The main thrust to what Jesus is trying to get at. He says, afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse will happen to you. I wonder what could be worse. I wonder what could be worse than 38 years of being paralyzed. 38 years of lying and not having anybody to help you. 38 years or however many years he was lying in this area with all of these other people without any hope. What could be worse than that? Well, that's what Jesus is telling us. If you think that's bad, if you think being 38 years in this state was bad, you don't want to know what it's like if you're going to continue to live a life in sin. And that's why he encourages him with this. You're well. Don't go this path. In verse 15, the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. What a wonderful message this is. A wonderful message from Jesus that made this man well. And it's wonderful to know that Jesus can take our sickness and help us to become well. You see, what John is intending to do is ask you this very same question. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to have your sickness healed, whether it be a physical outward sickness or maybe it's a struggle that you're having on the inside? What Jesus is asking is, can I help you? Will you let me? And it takes an answer from us, yes or no. So I want to ask, as we close this morning, will you be the one who is made well? Can we help you? Can we pray for you? Will you let us into your life to where we can encourage you, so that we can help strengthen your relationship with God, so that we can help strengthen your relationship with Jesus, so he can be the one who helps you be made well? What it takes on our part is answering yes or no. Will you be that one who's made well? If we can help you in any way this morning, can we pray for you? Can we encourage you? Or maybe this morning is the morning you want to become a child of God. Do you want to have your sins washed away? Do you want to be made well of all the sins in your life? Well, Jesus has made that opportunity possible. We see throughout the New Testament that if we go into the waters of baptism, we can have our sins washed away and be made whole again and be brought back to God and united with him. Maybe this morning is that morning you want to have that happen. We would love and encourage that. But if you have a need, whatever it may be, will you come while we stand and sing the song of encouragement?